Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 22. Isaiah 33, verse 22. These words, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." And our subject this morning is four crucial facts about God. Four crucial facts, facets of God's character revealed to us in this tremendous verse. This is, of course, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, well, he lived roughly 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, well, it is well known of Isaiah that he had great knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one prophet who had so many prophecies about the coming of the Lord, about his birth, born of a virgin, about all that he would do while he was on earth, about his titles, his role, his kingship. Isaiah seems to know so much about his death. We have that tremendously famous chapter, Isaiah 53, and so many of the details are so clear and so accurate as to the things that we read in the gospel. And remember, these were written, put down 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah seems to know about the gospel age, the time after the Lord Jesus Christ, when the gospel would go out around the world and many people would be saved. So many of the passages describe these things in great detail, and this is one such passage before us. Well, even this passage looks even beyond the gospel age, you could say, to the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah seems to see all of these things in time, the gospel age, and things in eternity. He seems to know all these things. He is a man inspired by God. And these things are for our learning. And this verse particularly shows us tremendous things about our God, and truths, glorious truths, facts that we must embrace if we are ever to know God in an effective, efficacious way. If we are to know him for salvation, we ought to take these things into consideration. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Crucial facts about God that we must understand very clearly. Well, let's look at this first part of the verse. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our judge. Now, many churches often try to avoid the subject of judgment. It's not a subject that is often spoke of in churches, and even I don't speak about it maybe as often as I should. But judgment, here we have it. For the Lord is our judge. We can't just speak about the kind things of God, about blessings. Some churches just speak about prosperity and health and wealth. But the most important thing you need to know about God is that he is our judge. The Bible, of course, speaks about a day of judgment, a great day of judgment. We don't know when it will come, but we know that it surely will. It is prophesied in the Old Testament. The New Testament most certainly speaks of the day of judgment. And so we know that the word of God is true and that this day will surely come. We can't just dismiss it. We can't just think it's fiction. It will come. The word of God has made it very clear and plain to us. And God will be our judge. One day, the Bible says, all of us will stand before God. Every single one of us, Every man, woman, and child, doesn't matter what our circumstances have been in our lives, whether we're rich or poor, noble or lowly, we will all stand before God. Do we understand this? Even the dead will be raised up again and stand before God on that great day. Everybody who has ever lived in history will stand before God on that great day of judgment. And God will be our judge. We will be called to give an account of our lives. The Bible says that this is an appointment we cannot cancel. We cannot just put it off. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, an appointment, and you can't possibly cancel it. God will be our judge on that day, and we will consider these things in great depth. But God is our judge. Because God is our judge, God will judge us perfectly. It will be a perfect judgment. If man was our judge, that would be an imperfect judgment. Man cannot judge perfectly. You think of a judge, a high court judge. Well, he is limited. He doesn't know all the circumstances about a case. He doesn't have all the evidence set before him. He has some evidence, but he doesn't know everything, all the circumstances around a crime or a certain case. He doesn't know what was really going through that person's heart, that person's motives, that person's intentions. He can only guess at these things. And sometimes human judges, well, they can come to the wrong verdict. Sometimes they can rule that somebody is guilty when actually they're innocent. And vice versa. Sometimes a judge can say somebody is innocent when he is actually guilty. Man's judgment can be faulty, but God will be our judge on that day. And his judgment will be perfect. His judgment will be just. He knows everything about you. He can see all the evidence. He knows what your intentions were. He knows what all your motives were. He can see right into your heart. And so his judgment will be absolutely perfect. You don't need to worry about unjust judgment on that day. Everything will be perfectly just. Everything will be perfectly right. Because God will be your judge. And these things are very important to think about. But also when we think about this, if we think that God is going to be our judge, well then we have to be very sure, be very concerned about what God thinks about us. We need to ask ourselves, do I worry about what God thinks about me? We so often think about how we look in the eyes of men. What will this person think if he knows this about me? What will that person think if I do this and that? We're so worried about what other people will think about us. But do you worry about what God thinks about you? God will be your judge. Not any of us. Not anybody in this room. And yet we spend so much time worrying about what other people think about us. But God will be your judge on that day. And yet how slow we are to think about what God thinks of us. When God sees me, what does he think about me? When he sees the things I do, when he sees the things that I think of, what does he think about me? When we consider these things, God will be our judge. Well, God has to be foremost in our mind. We have to worry about what he thinks about us because we have to stand before him at the end of time. And these things are very sobering. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver, it goes on to say. This is how God will judge us, by the law. He is the lawgiver. When we think of the law, we often think of Moses in the Old Testament, who is often called the lawgiver. But the law that Moses gave, if it was, of course, not his law, It was God's law. Moses was the one who communicated it to the people, but it was from God. It was God's law. He was the lawgiver. And we think most particularly of the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, quite often called the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the first half of the Ten Commandments, detailing our moral obligations to God. And well, we know these. I won't go through all of them. But well, we think of, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And remember the Sabbath day, our moral obligations to God. And then the second part of the Ten Commandments, detailing our moral obligations to man. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to thy neighbor. Moral obligations to God, moral obligations to man. This is God's law. This law shows us the standards of God. It is as though the law is saying to us, if you want to be right with God, this is how you have to be. This is the standard you've got to meet. You see this law? You have to meet that standard perfectly. If you want to be right with God in your own right, well, you have to do this and do it perfectly. You have to fulfill this law. But there is, of course, one great problem. Nobody can fulfill the law of God. Nobody can perfectly fulfill the Ten Commandments. Not one of us. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. That is what the scriptures say. We are imperfect. We have broken the laws of God in many different ways. If we desire to keep the law of God, well, we have mentioned already, we have to keep it perfectly. Some of you perhaps maybe think you've kept some aspects of the Ten Commandments wonderfully well. But the thing is, if you have failed in just one area, maybe there's just one area of the Ten Commandments you're weak in, well, then it's as though you've broken the whole lot. You've shattered the whole law. Everything has fallen to one side. Because you have to keep the law of God perfectly. It's not 50% pass rate or 60% pass rate as though you're taking an exam. This is God's law. The law of a holy God. He demands perfection. He demands 100%. So if you come short in just one area, the whole law is lost. You failed. You're disqualified. And nobody can fulfill the law of God perfectly. We have all failed completely. We know it when we read the law of God. But you know, it's not just the case that we cannot keep the law of God. We don't really want to keep the law of God. That is really the reason we can't keep it. Because we don't want to keep it. We, by nature, we are rebels against God. We see God's law. You know what our first reaction is? Oh, I don't want it. I don't want anything to rule over me. I don't want God's authority over me. That's our nature. We want to go our own way. We don't want to live according to these laws. And that is such a terrible thing. But that is our state. That is why we cannot be made right with God through the law. It is impossible. And while we live in a society today that truly hates God's laws, have you noticed in today's society that God's laws have totally been pushed out and man has created his own laws to replace them, his own morality to replace God's law? Things that go directly against God's law are now being made legal. Legal things. Things that God's law forbids are now made legal in the sight of man. We are going to make these things legal that God says is illegal. Well, you can use some examples. God's law says, thou shalt not kill. That's a very simple one. Thou shalt not kill. And yet we have laws in this country saying it's okay, it's legal to have abortions, life in a womb, can be extinguished. That's okay, it's legal. God says, thou shalt not kill. Man says, oh no, it's okay. It's legal to do this and this and this, to have abortions and so forth. In direct attack against the word of God, against the law of God. And then, of course, recently, well, same-sex relationships, same-sex marriages, that's been made legal, even though it goes against the word of God, against the Ten Commandments. And of course, some people will say, where does it say in the Ten Commandments that same-sex marriages are wrong? Well, it doesn't have to explicitly be spelt out in the Ten Commandments. There are several places in the Old Testament that clearly state that these kind of relationships are wrong, and in the New Testament. But if you want something in the Ten Commandments, there is something in the Ten Commandments. There is that fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. That's not just about respecting your parents. It's about respecting an order that God has created. Father and mother, man and wife, male and female. You must honor that. We have a father and mother, our parents. You have to honor them. You have to honor that union, that blend of the sexes, a man and a wife. Honor thy father and mother. It's never going to read, honor thy father and father. It's never going to read, honor thy mother and mother. It's always forevermore going to read, honor thy father and mother. The two sexes. If you want to have a commandment in the Ten Commandments that speaks against same-sex relationships, we'll go to that one. But elsewhere, there are many things. But well, we have to ask ourselves, are we like that? Do we make up our own laws about what is right and what is wrong? Are you somebody who thinks, well, I know what the law of God says, but I'm going to decide myself what is right, what is wrong? I'm going to make my own rules up for myself, and I'm going to judge myself according to what I think. Well, that is so foolish. When you stand before God on the day of judgment, it won't be your laws that you'll be judged by. It will be God's laws. Those that are written in the Word of God, those laws will judge you. Not man's laws, not the laws of 20th century society, but God's laws that are everlasting. And well, we will know on that day that He is King. This is what this verse goes on to say. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. Nobody can overrule Him. Nobody can say that He is wrong. Nobody can supersede Him. He is the highest authority. And well, He will judge you. He is the lawgiver. But there is another aspect to this. The Lord is our King. And this is very important. He will save us. He will save us. This is good news. What is clearly in mind here is that God the Lord is a good King. He is a good King. Yes, He is holy and just and almighty, but He is a good King. He is full of compassion and mercy. A King who cares about His people, about His subjects. A King who sees if His people are in danger, He is concerned about them. He desires, He determines to save them. He will not see His people in danger and then just sit back, oh well, there's nothing I can do about it, like a bad king. He is a good King. He sees His people in danger and He will do something about it. And well, of course, we're all in danger, as we have just discussed. We have all broken the law of God. And you know, the sentence for breaking the law of God is death. It's death. It's physical death and it's spiritual death. Spiritual death and eternal death. Eternal banishment from God. So yes, we are in great danger. But fear not, God is our King, he will save us. That is what this verse expresses to us, communicates to us, and it is glorious in our sight. God has determined to save us. Well, how does he save us? Well, God himself came down from heaven to earth. He himself, the King, came down from heaven to earth. Christ Jesus our Lord, the eternal Son of God. He himself came down, lived and dwelt among us, the incarnate God clothed in human flesh. And well, when he was here on earth, he lived a perfect, righteous life, a life that fulfilled the law of God. And he did it for us. That life that we cannot live, he lived it for us. And so when he goes to the cross, as it were, he lays down his perfect life so that we may take it up, so that we may wear his perfection and be allowed into heaven, because he has fulfilled the law of God for us. But well, he goes to the cross also. Why does he go to the cross? To take the punishment for our sin, for all the times in which we have broken the law of God, to take upon himself our physical death and our spiritual death. Well, we can see upon the cross, and we considered this last week, upon the cross you could see his physical death, but there was that unseen work. He was taking upon himself the eternal punishment for our sin. He was bearing upon his soul our eternal hell. You couldn't see that, but that was what he was doing. And when you think about who he was, let's think about it again. The eternal, everlasting Son of God, our King, dying for us, dying for all the times that we have broken his holy law. It is truly astonishing. He is our King. He will save us. Well, he will save every one of us. If you truly call upon his name, if you come to God and say, Lord, I know I have broken the law of God. I know I have broken the Ten Commandments completely, utterly. There is no hope of me being right with God through the law. I need a Savior. I need someone to die for me on the cross. I need someone to take the punishment for my sin. That's what I need. If you call out to God in that way, he will save you. The King will save you. And that is his word of promise. This is a promise to us, dear friends. We must take it before it is too late. Four crucial facts about God. The Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, our King. He will save us. Four crucial facts. And well, I must close with one crucial question for you. One crucial question. When you stand before God, and let me remind you that all of us will be there. When you stand before God, do you know that assurance? Do you know Christ? If you don't know Christ, if you don't want Christ, you're bored by the things that you're hearing this morning. If you don't want Christ, well then on that day, who is going to save you? Who is going to save you when you stand before God in the day of judgment? Who are you going to look to? You don't want Christ in this world, in this life. But when that day comes, who's going to save you? Who has died for you? Who has possibly given his life for your sin? So many people say to me, oh, I'll be all right on that day. I'll be fine. I'll just plead with God. That's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say that when God comes, when Christ comes again, everybody who has not trusted in him, they'll be so terrified. They'll say to the rocks and to the mountains, hide us, rocks fall on us. Because they know they have not called upon the name of Christ. And now they are resorting in their despair to calling upon the rocks and the mountains, hide us. The rocks and mountains cannot save you. They cannot hide you. It's only God the King, Christ our Saviour, who can save you. So that's my question to you. But if you do trust in Christ, well then, we will sing this verse, if you like. This verse really is a verse of praise, if you read it as a believer in Christ. The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King. We will see Christ coming upon the clouds. We will sing these words, "Here is our King. He has come to save us. He has saved us." Because we know that he suffered and died for us. He has saved us to the uttermost, and we will dwell with him forever. Well, it is my prayer, my wish, that every single one of us in this church will be in that group, singing these verses, rather than calling to the rocks to hide us. Oh, you must come to Christ. He's the only way of salvation. There is no other. Come to him, yield your life, confess your sin, and he will save you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we have heard solemn words, we have heard hard words, but words that point us to that great and coming day, that day that we must be prepared for. Oh Lord, we cannot be prepared if we have not called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that if we do, he will hear us, he will save us. He is the good shepherd who has laid down his life for his sheep. He is our King. Oh Lord, may he be our King now and forevermore. We ask it all in his name. Amen.